a giant 70-million-year-old fossil of a fish that lived amongst dinosaurs has been discovered in Argentina, Patagonia. A team of researchers said on Monday, Argentine paleontologists found the remains of a predator fish and a mouthful of daggers, essentially, that was more than 6 meters long. The researchers said in a statement, the discovery was published in the scientific journal Alacharinga, an Australasian journal of paleontology. Now, my two boys are absolutely mad about fishing, and I've taken them out 3 times this year, and each time we've been absolutely shut out. Skunked, I think is the term they used. Nothing, barely a nibble. I don't know, maybe it's too hot out. We've been using corn as bait, and I've just been sitting here thinking, maybe next time I should take the corn out of the can. I don't know, that might work better, don't know. Not much of a fisherman myself. But imagine setting a hook into that lake monster. You can read the story and check out the picture of this creature in the news section at coasttocoastam.com. Back with more of my conversation with Joshua Shapiro as we discuss the Mitchell Hedges skull and others right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. Richard Serrett sitting in for George Norrie, and Joshua Shapiro stays with us, lecturer, explorer, and author of Mysteries of the Crystal Skulls Revealed and Journeys of the Crystal Skull Explorers. Before the break, I was about to ask you about taking your crystal skull inside a crop circle. What was the reasoning there?
Let me come back to the last question. There was one other point I wanted to add, then I'll go into the experience with Portal de Luz.
Oh, how to activate, right, how to activate a skull, correct. Thank you.
Is take it with these very old skulls. Like, you know, if you have a new skull, put it in the presence of one of the old ones, and that's surely going to help to activate it as well. Because what we saw in our research with the Meridian Stress Test System is the older skulls will pass special energies to the newer skulls, since they cannot travel all over the world, and they call these newer skulls their younger brothers and sisters. So that's very important. Like if a Mitchell Hedges skull comes and you have your own crystal skull, you definitely want to bring it. Okay, so where we're going to with the crop circles is England, and I think this crop circle I visited was, it was by one of the stone circles there. Avebury, I believe, was the closest one. We were working with a crop circle researcher, and again, at 65 years, I can't remember the names of all the people I've met in all these travels, but he was a very well-respected one who passed away, and he did a great job helping people to understand it. So he brought us there. This crop circle had a yin-yang pattern at the center of it, and so Portal de Luz kept telling me, Dad, I want you to meditate with me in a crop circle. And I want to show you something. So the crop circle researcher had a special device that measured electromagnetic frequencies. I believe the reading went from minus 100 to positive 100. So first what we did is we measured the energy at the center of the crop circle, and it measured zero. However, Portal de Luz, when we were looking at him, we saw what looked like inside of him a spiraling energy coming in and out very fast. So I think he was trying to tell us why that reading was zero, because this energy coming in the center was going up and down really fast, negating itself. Put the crystal skull into the center of the crop circle, measured the energy. It still was zero. He was telling me, Dad, you have to do a meditation with my favorite song, which is Pasha Bell's Canon in D, which is the music we use when we do sessions with him and people do a meditation. So I said, okay, fine. So the strange thing that happened to me, as soon as I start listening to that music, and I'm sitting right close to the center of the crop circle, holding him in my hands, meditating, I felt like a cone of energy totally surround me. And I don't know, I went into some altered space. Then about in the middle part of the song, I just got inspired. I needed to sing with it. That song doesn't have words, so, you know, I was just kind of humming. I thought I was in perfect sync with that. And then I came out of the meditation, and everybody was asking me, what song were you singing? So I don't know what I was doing. I thought it was Pasha Bell's Canon, but apparently not. Anyway, then what we did is we did a measurement around the skull itself, and it was off the scale, the energy that the skull was emanating. And after we put the skull into the center of the crop circle, it also showed a measurement. So somehow doing the meditation with music activated it. I think what your listeners are starting to get from my answers to your questions is having your own direct experience with these skulls is very, very important. And you never know when something is going to come up and something's going to happen. I mean, you might not have experiences like what I'm talking about, but to me, what the crystal skulls represent is a sacred tool that gives the opportunity to help to work with a person to develop their inner skills and talents, whether it's creative talents or spiritual talents.
Now, how many of the, you gave us four categories of skulls. There are the ancient ones, the ones that may go back to Atlantis. There are the, you know, the old ones that are maybe hundreds of years old or maybe 1,000 years old. There are the modern ones. There are the apported ones. But how many of the ancient ones are in existence? And then I want to talk to you about, I believe there's a prophecy of a that was kind of played out in the Indiana Jones movie, sort of a gathering of these crystal skulls that are to be brought together in one place at one time for a specific purpose. First of all, how many are there?
Well, for ancient skulls, I have no clue because almost every year now, somebody contacts me and they have another skull. So I'm guessing, and this comes from, I think, soul memories, thousands and thousands and thousands of these skulls. And I'm guessing that the reason why they haven't come out, let's say many years ago, is because humanity wasn't ready to deal with the energy. But I think with the situations that we have going on the planet right now, which to me is like totally crazy. I've never seen anything like this in my entire life. I think that these crystal skulls, especially these ancient ones, are going to start coming out in huge numbers because humanity needs their knowledge, their wisdom, and their healing energies that they possess. And this was the message of me was basically communicating with me, the first one I met. We're returning to help humanity to create world peace. So this is the reason why I feel personally that these skulls are important. They're returning to help us to create a more peaceful world. Well, that's the other question you asked me, the number of ancients and then something else.
Right. Whether there is, it seems to me, maybe this is based on the movie, but it seems to me there is some sort of a prophecy.
Yeah, the prophecy.
Prophecy of these skulls being brought together, yes.
Right, okay. So there has been this concept, which a lot of people resonate with, and, you know, I don't know if it can be proven to be true or not, but when the Sci-Fi Channel came out with their special show, which I was interviewed for, and I did get credit as a consultant, they were focusing on this idea of 13 master or major skulls coming together, or original skulls. Such prophecy or such an idea has come through some of the indigenous sources. But when I had contact with the conference where I received Portal de Luz, there was some Mayan priest there. And I know the Mayans talk about it, 52 sacred skulls, which could be four sets of 13. So I'm kind of leaning more toward, and again, I just follow my intuition. You know, sometimes you can't prove any of this stuff. You just have to go with what feels right for you. That there are multiple sets of crystal skulls that probably have a similar design. Like the co-author of my first book, Mystery of the Crystal Skulls Revealed, Mr. Nasserino, who many people consider to be the expert ever on crystal skulls. He said he saw a crystal skull like the Mitchell Hedges skull, I believe, in France, which had a movable jaw. And I can't remember, was it, I think it was rose quartz. Yeah, rose quartz he saw. So, and then the other reason I feel this is, and I think we put a picture of this skull, Tachula, which is kind of a Mayan name, which basically came to my partner, Katrina Head. When we were in Billingham, Washington, at a fair, and we had Tachula standing out, and I think Tachula is either an old or ancient skull. Doesn't really matter. They're all here to help us and work with us. A gentleman came up and said, I have a skull exactly like that, and he brought it, and it was exactly the same style and design as the skull we had. And when I looked at the two of them, I again got this message like there's 12 or 13 of them. Now, this number 12 or 13 comes up in all of our major religions, the Christ and 12 apostles, and also in my religion, I was brought up in Judaism. You have the Levites, the priests, and the 12 tribes of Israel. And there are even some people who say there are 12 planets in our solar system, one in front of Mercury and two beyond Pluto, so that we have 12 planets around the sun, 13. So it's possible that there could be this kind of grouping, but, you know, whether it's 13 or 24 or whatever it is, but definitely many people feel that there are certain groups of skulls, very old skulls, who have been together before that somehow got scattered over the years to protect them, that they may be coming back together. Now, there is a story I've written called Crystal Skull Chronicles, where I actually provide a scenario where 13 crystal skulls come together and this brings peace. Now, whether this is the way it will happen or not, I don't know. But this was the vision that I had, and I put it into a story form. And hopefully that story is going to be coming out soon. So I go with one central skull surrounded by 12 outer skulls.
I want to talk to you about some of the communications that you've received and are currently receiving. And you say that, and these are coming from the crystal skulls, you say that they have to do with your future self, who you will become. Talk to me about this.
Okay, so I'm making available to all the listeners, if they're interested, three free ebooks. One of the ebooks is from Argus. Argus is a spirit guide, but Argus says to me, Joshua, I am who you become in this lifetime in the future. And he's talking to me from 2037 to 2040. Now, I think this is very important because when I was in Brazil, which is one of those places where it's just has an amazing high energy. It just totally activates all your gifts. He rode through me, and he was describing where he was and what life was like there. So the only thing I've been able to come up to prove what Argus is talking about, and then I'll explain to you what is his connection with the crystal skull, is Project Looking Glass, which a lot of people have been talking about is this device that came from components of the Stargate system that supposedly the God from the ET, so they can travel through time and space, where people would sit with this looking glass device and they would project onto it, you know, I want to create this situation. I want to see what will the results of it be. There was a gentleman, I got to look at my notes, I can remember her proper name. Bill Wood was the person who was interviewed, Carrie Cassidy. Her show. And Bill Wood said, Project Looking Glass, they stopped using it because it only showed one future going forward, and it wasn't the future they wanted. So obviously, it was a very positive future. So I think that Project Looking Glass is kind of a clue that what this future self had written through me about, you know, that, what did he say? He said that the community becomes our family, all adults, our parents to all the children. We have a total planet at peace. We're working with, I call the extraterrestrials the galactics. We have communication with the beings that live in the hollow earth, with Sasquatch, dimensional beings. So it's paradise. So I think, I know that there's this message that you keep playing, you know, in between the breaks where George Norrie's asking about, you know, can we break through, be a positive future? I think it's going to happen. Now, in the document where I included, which all the listeners can get this document with our free Crystal Skull ebook, and there's one other thing I wrote, I think it was about the idea that we're in a computer simulation. I wrote six possibilities of a special event that could happen that would take us into the future that Argus is talking about. Now, the thing about Argus is he cannot tell me exactly what's going to happen between where I am now and where he is. Otherwise, I won't become him. So I can only see through his eyes this very peaceful future. So I felt inspired. What happens to me when I write, if I'm supposed to write something, it just comes through me so fast. And so when I knew I was going to be on the show, all of a sudden I got inspired to create this document with his message in it. Now, I think that Argus will have a translucent blue skull by 2037 to 2040. At least when I include him in my stories, this blue skull seems to be connected to him. And that's the one we talked about on your other show that we did, where I see this vision of this blue skull. And I wrote an entire book about a crystal skull that I've never seen in the physical. And I think that Argus...
This is the one that you believe is in Peru, correct?
Yeah, that's the one where I've been going to Peru. So that's what that book is about. It talks about my journeys to Peru. And then also in the back of it, I had to talk about Amaru Maru, which is the gigantic stone door there that's by Lake Titicaca. And that links into the computer thing. So all these different subjects, Atlantis, crystal skulls, UFOs, they're all somehow connected. And, you know, I've been working at this, as you said, for a very long time, but now I'm starting to see how all these different things connect. And I think that...
All right, Joshua, sorry for the interruption, but I've got to jump in here. We're going to take a time out. We'll come back. We're going to open up the phone lines as well and take questions and comments. Oh, I'm a little behind, or I'm a little ahead of myself. I'm sorry, we do have a little bit of time here. My apologies. So, yes, let's continue on with that. So this connection between UFOs, crystal skulls, speaking of which, just there is the skull in the British Museum is known as E.T., is it not?
No, E.T. is a...
No, that's a different one?
Eaton hand that looks extraterrestrial. It's made out of smoky quartz that came out of the family from Guatemala. The one in the British Museum is very similar in style and shape and design to the Mitchell Hedges skull, except that it's a single piece. E.T. is more of a stylized skull, which actually the guardian Yogi allowed me to sleep with it one time, and that I woke, after I woke up, I just felt like I had been exercising all night. It just very strong energy. So that skull may give some evidence to the idea that the crystal skulls were gifts from the, you know, the gods, the extraterrestrials, which is what I feel, that they brought them here as tools to help humanity to expand and grow in our spiritual awareness and our divine awareness.
And the one in the British Museum, you say, is sort of being mistreated because it's not totally activated, correct?
Well, it's mistreated because the plaque they have on the wall describing it, they call it a fake. And then energetically, if you go into the area where they put the skull, it's terrible energy there, absolutely terrible. Like when I went to go see the British Museum skull with Portal de Luz, of course, it's in a glass case, so I'm taking Portal around and so on. Portal became a very dark shade of gray, which I felt he was trying to help his, I think it's a it has a feminine presence in that skull. So that's what I was referring to. That was my sensing. And the last time I saw the British Museum skull, I think was 2009.
Okay, now we're going to go into a break. I've got it right this time. Stay put, Joshua. We'll open up the phone lines when we come back. Sitting in for George Norrie, say hello on Twitter at Richard Serrett. The comet Neowise has completed its close approach to the sun, and it's now returning from whence it came. Visible comets like this don't come around often, so you're going to want to see this celestial wonder with your own eyes before it's too late. From now until July 11th, observers in the Northern Hemisphere can come see comet Neowise in the northeastern morning sky close to the horizon. This applies to people living in the United States, here in Canada, Europe, and elsewhere north of the equator. The comet's been visible from the southern hemisphere for a while now. So to see the comet, go outside early in the morning, about an hour before sunlight appears on the horizon, and face toward the northeast. The northeast. Hold your fist out at arm's length. Align the power part of your, the lower part of your fist with the horizon, and the comet will be visible about halfway between the horizon and the top of your fist. So, again, Comet Neowise, which was named, incidentally, after the Near-Earth Object Wide Field Infrared Survey Explorer, Neowise, reached its perihelion on July the 3rd, placing it just inside Mercury's orbit, its closest approach to the sun complete. The comet is now heading back toward the outer reaches of the solar system, and its surface is still being warmed by the sun, however, resulting in a glowing coma and two cometary tails, one consisting of gas and one of dust. And more details can be found in the article in the news section at coasttocoastam.com. Now, we have an astronomer here who lives right across from us in Thornhill, and we see him out on his driveway with a very large, very impressive-looking telescope, which he has hooked up to his laptop computer. And I may have to invite myself over tomorrow morning, and maybe he can assist in seeing this comet. I hope you're listening, Chris. Get the coffee ready. All right. I'm back in the air chair tonight, Saturday, July the 11th. Nelson Thal will be with me. He's a media scientist and archivist for the late Marshall McLuhan, the philosopher whose work is among the cornerstones of media theory. Nelson joins me in the first half to discuss McLuhan's theories on mass media, along with how secret societies control culture. That'll be followed in the second half by Chris Newby, the author of Bitten, The Secret History of Lyme Disease and Biological Weapons. Newby became one of the 300,000 Americans afflicted with Lyme disease each year. She'll talk about the disease and why it's so misunderstood, as well as Willy Burgdorfer, the Lyme microbes discoverer, who concluded the epidemic was started by a military experiment gone wrong. That's tonight, Saturday, July the 11th, on Coast to Coast AM. Back to more of my conversation with Joshua Shapiro on Crystal Skulls and your phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. Joshua Shapiro stays with us. Joshua, before the break, you were mentioning some free books that you were going to give away to Coast listeners regarding crystal skulls. How did they get those books?
They just can contact me via my email, crystalskullexplorers@gmail.com. And just put in the subject Coast to Coast free ebooks, and then I'll know that that's for them. And again, the three books I'm offering are the free Crystal Skull ebook that we've been doing since 2004. We have the 2018 edition, another document I created that talks about we may be in a computer simulation, a whole bunch of things I found on YouTube. And then this last one has the message from Hargis with some possibilities about what could be coming up in the future. So anybody who's interested, just send an email to crystalskullexplorers@gmail.com. Our website is listed all over the web pages of Coast to Coast. They'll find the email address there on our website also.
Have you personally witnessed or personally experienced a profound healing while in the presence of a skull?
Well, I would say there was one time where we were traveling, Katrina Head and I. We were doing a Coast to Coast, the same as the radio show, going from the West Coast to the East Coast. I remember when we were in Wyoming, she was just feeling really sick, and we had just received this new crystal skull, Rosalita, human-sized rose quartz skull with the movable jaw, put it next to her, and when she woke up, she was feeling a lot better. So that would be the one that comes to mind right away. But I mean, from other people who've contacted us, we've heard, you know, stories. Another story I can just remember quickly, the book Mystery of the Crystal Skulls revealed that I was a co-author of with Nasserino and Bowen. I remember a lady fell asleep on the book, and it had a picture of me on the back cover, and she had some kind of terrible pain or back pain. And when she woke up, she said it was totally gone. The other thing, other remarkable healing I can think of is Jokke van Deeten. She had a very large brain tumor that came up, and she had just received the ET skull, and the doctors, couldn't believe that she was walking around with such a large brain tumor, and they did some major surgery on her, and she totally recovered from that. So she says that ET came into her life specifically to help her with the healing. And the same thing, too, for the guardian of Ami, Al Ramirez, who unfortunately has passed away, but he really loved that skull. He also had some kind of blood vessel that wasn't growing properly in his head. And the doctor said, well, you know, you're 60 or 70. If we do the surgery, you'll become a vegetable. And he said, go ahead and do it. And that happened. But he was able to indicate to his family to put the skull next to his head, and he regained all his abilities. One last thing I remember while traveling in Poland, there was a young boy, I think he had a session with Portal de Luz, who had some problem with his eyes that they treated with chemicals. So what happened to him is every time he would go in for the treatment, he would be in bed for a week or 10 days, He had seen the crystal skull prior to doing the treatment, and he went out and played with his friends right after the treatment. So the only difference was he had the opportunity to spend time with Portal Toulouse. So those are what I can think off the top of my head really quickly.
All right, let's go to the phones on the wild card line. Armando is in Los Angeles. Hello, Armando. Welcome to Coast.
Hello.
Hi there. Go ahead, Armando.
Yes, I'm really interested about the topic you guys are discussing, especially about the crystal skulls. And I wanted to ask him, ask Joshua about how are the skulls connected to astrology?
I couldn't understand. Skulls connected to what?
To astrology.
Oh, astrology. Well, astrology is the study of the planets and their influence upon us. So we're talking about energies. So the only correlation that I can think of quickly, because usually we don't associate astrology with crystal skulls, is that they're both dealing with energy impact upon humanity or upon the people that work with them. There's a possibility, you know, that maybe astrology has something to do with the energy in the skull, depending upon when it's created and what's in the sky. So that might be a possibility. But for me, the crystal skulls stand alone by themselves with the special frequencies of energy that they have and the consciousness that works through them. So, you know, that would be the only way I would know how to answer such a question. If any of that,
Armando, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Does the power of the skull have more to do with the age of the skull or who made the skull, whether it's old or modern?
That's a difficult question to answer, Richard, because in the early days when I first got involved, everyone would say, well, the only skulls that are important are the ancient ones because they have very intense energies that are usually around them. But having worked with all four types of the skulls themselves, I think that each one is just like human beings. We're all unique. We all have special gifts and abilities. Each different crystal skull has its own unique special gifts and abilities. Now, naturally, if you have a new skull made and nobody works with it, or the person who creates it is not spiritually orientated, then it'll probably have a blank energy. Like, for example, one TV show I was interviewed for, they had a Chinese carver make a duplicate of the Mitchell Hedges skull based on the measurements. And it was a beautiful skull, but it had no energy inside of it. As a matter of fact, it didn't have energy until it sat next to Portal Toulouse, and Portal Toulouse started sharing with it, so it changed. But you know, I cannot say that people should just go with the idea that, oh, if it's an ancient skull, you know, it's going to be more powerful or whatever. Some of the older skulls, like when I was in Mexico, I met some skulls that recorded the energy of man's inhumanity to man. Like we hear stories that maybe the Mayan priest took somebody's heart out and put the skull in there or something like that. So it's like anything else. How we work with things and how we create things and what our intention is going to be reflected in the energy of these objects. So I just think that it's an individual thing. Like, again, I remember going to a conference where the Mitchell Hedges skull was there, but then when I did a presentation and showed to me, some people felt a much stronger connection to me than they felt with the Mitchell Hedges skull. So it's not possible to predict. And the same thing with the new skulls. There's been a few new skulls where people start working with it or activate it, or it could be because the guardian who has the new skull had many past lifetimes working with crystal skulls, so in their DNA is encoded all kinds of special frequencies, and that activates the skull. So bottom line is,
all right,
if the skull's going to have a good energy, it's the person who has it, the person who creates it, and what has the skull experienced. Obviously, a skull that's been around a lot of civilizations and people is going to have tremendous energies around it.
All right, let's go west of the Rockies. Mary's in Anchorage, Alaska. Mary, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Oh, yeah, this is really super. Thank you very much. The other night, I was dreaming At the end of the dream, I come up to a crystal skull.
Mm-hmm.
And the skull, the mouth opened up kind of like, and out come these two things. It was kind of like something to eat or something. I'm not sure, packages or something. I did not accept them. But getting there, the reason I know this is paranormal is because it took me almost a whole day, it seemed, four and a half hours, riding this weird, weird bicycle. So special. The handlebars are real low. The tires are real skinny. And they said it's a Proteus, Proteus. And I went, gee, that's weird. I never heard that word before. I called my sister and I told her about this Proteus. And she looked it up, and there is a racing bike with a handles real low. That's called a Proteus. It's a type of bicycle. I just freaking out up there. And I've got.
So that happened in the dream with the crystal skull. Do you have a lot? Did a lot of people dream about crystal skulls, Joshua?
Yes, they do. Some people dream of a crystal skull that they're going to meet in the future. Some people have a dream about a crystal skull, and then all of a sudden they start going on the internet to try to figure out what that is. It seems to be with the crystal skulls, everybody has a certain time frame when they're ready. Like when I met a me, apparently I was ready for that. I've heard many stories from people where, you know, they had no interest in crystal skulls, and then they had a dream, and all of a sudden, you know, they had to read every book and find out everything about it. So because the skulls themselves, I think, exist in multi dimensions, and when we dream, we leave our physical body and go into the other dimensions, it would make sense to me that people would have dreams. So it's very common, very common. I would not be one of those people. I don't think I've ever had a dream with a crystal skull, but I know that Katrina has talked to me about special dreams she had. And I remember there was one friend in England who saw this huge crystal skull at the center of the earth. Huge. She said she saw Portal de Luz, who looked like a little tiny pea compared to this crystal skull that seemed to be at the center of the earth. So that gets into the hollow earth theory that, you know, there's not a molten core there. So, yes, many people.
All right. Well, Mary has had her dream, so maybe it's time for Mary. Mary's being communicated by the skull. It wants her to start exploring crystal skulls. Thank you for that, Mary. Let's go to the wild card line. Deborah is in Peoria, Illinois. Deborah, good morning.
Good morning. I love your bumper music. And this is fascinating. I used to read on the skulls back years ago. I've kind of put it off in the last few years. But I had this overwhelming urge tonight, I don't know why, to call in and ask you, have you ever gotten anything from the skulls pertaining to the K means S?
Say it again. I can't understand.
Have you ever gotten anything through the skulls pertaining to K means S.
K means S?
K means S.
Yes.
Oh, no, I've never heard of it.
But I had this urge to call you tonight, and if you ever get an opportunity, ask. I don't know why, but I find this...
You mean the letter K? The letter K, Deborah?
My sister is got some stuff. We get stuff quite frequently. I get them in dreams. She gets them... She works with a crystal ball, and she's a Reiki healer. But anyway, she got one night, K means S, and we've been trying to find out what that means for years. But for some reason or another, when I listen to you tonight, I feel that I want to know if they've ever said anything about that.
I've never heard anything that discusses that. The only thing, the still small voice within me said it's some kind of a code. You know, you also can activate crystal skulls through music, through sound, through pronouncing certain words, so I don't know if K means S is some way of activating a crystal skull or not. I just heard the word code, so that's all I can...
All right, Deborah. Good luck with that. Just about out of time here, Joshua, but do you think everyone should own a crystal skull? If I can use that term, I guess be the caretaker of a crystal skull.
Well, I think it's a very amazing and fascinating experience, but I don't think it's for everyone. Some people are afraid of an object that looks like a human skull because they think of pirates, death, and doom. And for me, I've never had that experience with it. So I think it's a personal thing. I mean, we help and we can continue to help any of your listeners. If they're interested in getting one, we have ways to assist them with that. But it has to really feel right for the individual to do it. I don't think, I mean, you can get a little tiny one. You can experiment with it, see if it helps you in some way. I mean, it's not going to hurt you. But, you know, I don't think it is for everyone. And the other reason the still small voice said to me is the skulls are a mirror that reflect back to the individual things about them. And there could be some people who don't want to see what the skull wants to show them to help them in their spiritual evolution.
Joshua, again, leave us with the website and the email to contact you for the e-books and maybe to get assistance in getting a skull.
Right. So our website, it's all over the pages of Coast to Coast, CSE.CrystalSkullExplorers.com. And our email address is CrystalSkullExplorers@gmail.com. So if you have any questions, something that I said that you feel affinity for, you want to get the free e-books, you want to find out about the other key books that we printed, they're all on our website, and be happy to talk to you. So I thank you, Richard, for this opportunity to talk about this fascinating subject. But the bottom line is the crystal skulls for me represent that we will have a positive future and we will see peace and possibly what the message Art just gave, 2037 to 2040 is the time frame. I cannot stop myself from feeling that. Nobody can talk me out of it. So that's just what I feel.
Well, I'm not going to try. We can use a little good news right about now. Joshua, thank you so much. Good to talk to you. Open lines await on the other side right here on Coast to Coast AM.